For most of us, the story of Palm Sunday is a familiar one. It's the story of a crowd which turns quickly, within a week, from adulation to rejection. Today, we remember the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. His ministry has been building to this point, and today marks the beginning of the end, a climax that marks the start of the week that we call holy, as we remember Jesus' suffering and death. But what can we learn from it that will inform our own lives? Is the message this Sunday merely about the fickleness of public opinion? Certainly that is a message that resonates in our own time, doesn't it? We know something about crowds. We know about the ways in which celebrities can be applauded one day and then fall from glory the next. Yet I believe that today's readings have more to say to us than this. And in order to unlock that, I want first to ask you to imagine the perspective of an onlooker as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Put yourself in that place. Then we'll look at our readings and what they have to say about Jesus' own perspective. So you are one of the many Jews travelling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, perhaps with your family, with friends, with fellow villagers. This was a volatile time for the Roman rulers. Their agreement with the Jewish authorities allowed the festival to be celebrated. They acknowledged its importance, but they kept a watchful eye. Such times were inevitably dangerous. The Passover, after all, is the commemoration of the time when the Jewish people were freed from their oppressors. Of all celebrations, this was one likely to incite those people in the crowd who rebelled under Roman rule. But you're an ordinary person from the villages. There's a holiday atmosphere, time off work. Now you see a rising star, that preacher that everyone's talking about. He's a controversial figure, but a popular one. His words are not always easy to understand, even though they're simple enough. His stories often have a challenging twist. He eats with outcasts. He's often in conflict with the religious authorities, but there are plenty of stories of miraculous healings, of times when he's fed the crowds. Some even think that he will be the one to lead a rebellion against the Romans. And here he is. You're in the mood to cheer, to follow, and the carnival atmosphere is catching. So you join with others in welcoming him, acclaiming him, throwing branches down in his path. And with others, you're caught up in the emotion and swept along by it. For Jesus, things seem to be different. We heard Mark's account of his entry into Jerusalem, which contains details of the careful preparation he made. The preparation seems to be both human and divine. He sends his disciples to find the donkey, but he knows where it'll be. He knows that they'll be challenged. Was it prearranged? Was there a kind of password? His actions mirror those of a conquering hero, but with a difference. The Gospels point to this entry as the fulfillment of Scripture, a passage from Zechariah, where the king will come riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's all very deliberate. And the Jewish crowd, steeped in their own scriptures, would have recognized the allusion, just as the Romans will have noted the triumphant entry. So the sense here is that Jesus is very much in control. He's not just caught up in events. He's not surprised by what happens. He's making a point. But like his stories and parables, it may seem obvious at first, but then it challenges the preconceptions. For the control that Jesus is exercising here is the control of one who walks willingly to his death. He won't be surprised to find that adoring crowd turning against him. And that's not because he has a good understanding of human psychology or the fickleness of crowds, but because he has come here to die. Again and again, he's spoken of this to his disciples. His entry aligns him with the promised Messiah, but he knows that his mission is to turn the ideas that people have on their heads, to offer a different model of kingship. And today's reading that we heard from Isaiah underlines the control and the deliberation here, the sense of willing submission. I gave my back to the oppressors. The suffering of Jesus is not an accident. It's not unfortunate. It's a central aspect of what we celebrate and remember this week. It was both inevitable and necessary, and Jesus knew that and accepted it. And I think that if we allow it to do so, his acceptance of suffering has a great deal to teach us in our own lives. At some point, we all face suffering and death. That suffering may come early in our lives. It may be part of a decline in health. If we're lucky, we may avoid many forms of suffering, but even the most unfortunate of us do not entirely escape. So how do we face such situations? This is very pertinent for all of us who've watched a friend or relative facing their own death. And as I speak, that's happening for our own brother-in-law. Often, it's the sense of being helpless that makes suffering hard. Waiting for test results, not knowing what's going to happen, feeling out of control. Because decline and illness bring physical dependence, perhaps even indignity. And we have to rely on other people when we'd rather be in charge. Apart from the actual pain, these were all things that Jesus was to face. There's an excellent book published a number of years ago by a man called Vanstone, who analyzes the way in which each of the Gospels presents a hinge point, a time when Jesus moves from activity, healing, teaching, to passivity, from doing to being done to. And that movement, I'm no Greek and Hebrew scholar, but that movement is apparently very clear in the words used in the Hebrew and Greek. They change from active, those of you who did grammar at school a long time ago, and active tenses and passive tenses, those words turn from active to passive. And it's clear that Jesus embraced and accepted that passivity, that being done to, as part of his destiny. And this book by Vanstone suggests that that's an important model for us, because in our society, passivity isn't valued. Dependence is something that's particularly hard to accept. I did it my way. I have to be in charge. This period of passivity, of dependence, as well as his pain, was for Jesus an important part of the story, because that was the place from which new life came. It's clear that he chose that path. It's clear that he didn't shrink from it. And the reading from Philippians that we heard underlines Jesus' voluntary emptying of himself, which was crucial. So for us, as for Jesus, the way in which we accept such times of hardship, of suffering, is if we know our lives to be part of a bigger story. That was his whole mindset as he entered this Holy Week. He knew he was doing his Father's will. He knew it wasn't the end. We don't know what he knew of the future. It seems likely that although he knew of his coming death, he had no reassuring certainty about what would follow any more than we have. What he did have, and what we can have too, is absolute trust in God and his promises. And that was evident in the words of the psalm we heard. This is the day that the Lord has made. I was very moved when I took a funeral not long ago, and the family, as the father was dying, and during the funeral would sing a chorus. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is not an accident. This is not something to be brushed aside. This is part of the story. So for me, Palm Sunday isn't just a time when we remember that enthusiasms pass, that the celebrity culture is deceptive or fickle. It's not just the starting point of a story that has a grim phase but then a happy ending next week. It's time to reflect on how we can handle those times when we too suffer, when we have to pass from being active to passive. And it's time, I think, to resolve to accept those times willingly as part of the overall story, which isn't just about us and our little lives, but about the much bigger story of God's people. Like Jesus, I think we too could be witnesses in our own times of suffering, obviously on a smaller scale. Perhaps we know of people who've managed to do that. So as we think about the themes of Palm Sunday, let's pray for strength to accept whatever aspects of adversity may come to us, and to use it, when it comes, in the service of God. Amen.